change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai with the Nonprofit Snapcast. Happy to be having part two of my conversation with Kathy Krutchoff, who's the principal of On Point Philanthropic Consulting. Kathy, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks, Mickey.
Yes, thanks. And the last episode we did, we talked about building a forecasting system for organizations, and not just programmatic forecasting, but donor forecasting as well. This time we're going to switch gears and talk about something completely different. Board engagement.
Yeah. Board engagement.
Yeah.
The hot potato.
Well, in my mind, board engagement ties right into accountability, which is like the last thing anyone ever wants to talk about. But
well, yeah. So I call it the hot potato, and I laugh. But I was doing some research for a project, and an organization called Boardably did a survey 2 years ago, and the data that they turned up was so compelling, and that they redid it a year ago and published the results at the end of 2020. And lack of board engagement is one of the most persistent and consistent problems that nonprofit leaders reported. It is a problem in the industry, is lack of board engagement. And so it got me to thinking about what can we do as a field to do a better job, to help our boards do a better job, and help our organizations move forward more effectively as well?
Obviously the big question is, how do you do that? That's
right. Yeah. I think that when I looked at the data that Boardably put together, one of the data points that they uncovered was that 60% of the boards that they talked to, or the board members they talked to, reported they had absolutely no interaction with the organization or any other board members between meetings.
Oh my goodness.
Nothing. So when you think about if this was a fundraising problem or a team building problem, how do you build engagement? You build engagement by encouraging interaction, by encouraging people to come together and talk about what you're doing. So when I read that and I began to look at some of the other data points, the thing that I realized is that as nonprofit leaders, we invest a lot of time and attention into our staff. We want to build a cohesive team on our staff. And yet when we look at our boards, typically it's a group of people who may or may not know each other, have some level of acquaintanceship. We throw them together in a room once a month or every month, or even just once a quarter, kind of shake them up like the Scrabble tiles and spill them out. And then we act surprised when they don't function very well as a team.
Right.
So, what can we do to provide a better foundation, not in terms of governance and all those things, but in terms of the real human relationship needs that board members have if they're going to be able to work together productively?
Right.
So trying to peel back some of that and look at, what can we do right from the get-go to bring board members into our organizations at a higher level of engagement, and then continue that engagement, while they're with us.
So let's take a step back for a second.
Sure.
I'm thinking of my own past board experiences, and it's been hard to get my fellow board members to come out and even have, just a cup of coffee or an adult beverage or something between board meetings, because we're all busy. We're all working, and we're not working. We're asking these same people to go do heavy things for the actual nonprofit. So why would they take the time to go have dinner with me one night just to rub elbows for a bit?
Exactly. And I think that and you're absolutely right. You're asking a lot of your fellow volunteers. So I think it's important when we think about our board meetings and we think about our board processes that we're building into the things that we're already doing opportunities for some of this relationship building and some of this interpersonal trust to be developed, so that the group can begin to function more cohesively as a team and be able to work together to solve problems, to make plans, and to hold each other accountable, which is, as you said right at the top, that's what we want, to have that accountability to the organization. As I thought about it, there's some things that I think when we start right from the very beginning, when we're starting with our board recruiting process, setting some norms about you being on a committee. Now, as a former agency director, you have a love-hate relationship with committees, but committees are where those interpersonal relationships can really have a chance to develop. So taking some time in that committee structure to let people get to know each other, to share some stories about why they got involved in the organization, to share not scary personal information, but just a little bit of personal information so that they get to know each other as individuals. And that starts to build trust, and that starts to build a sense of, I know who you are, and I will share my thoughts with you, and I know that you will share your thoughts with me, versus being in a board meeting together and no one's talking because no one feels comfortable expressing their opinion because they don't have that level of relationship and interpersonal trust.
Right.
So I think, right there at the committee level, you can start to put some practices in place. It doesn't have to be something that takes a long time, but right at the beginning of the meeting, let's, just kind of take 5 minutes and check in with each other. How are you? What's going on? Tell me a little bit about your family. Why did you get involved in the organization? What inspires you about our mission?
Right. So find
the common
ground.
You start to see things change.
Right, right. So it does make sense to actually build the board into something of a little bit of a family.
Yes.
I mean,
you can use the word family. I look at it as in the same way that you'd want to have your staff be a high performing team, you need your board to be a high performing team as well.
Right. Right.
And they have the confidence in each other, and the relationships required to hold themselves and to hold each other accountable.
Right.
One of the biggest disappointments that the Board of Lee survey reported was how difficult it is to motivate board members to get involved with fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know this. Yeah. We've all been there. It's tough. But if you look at it from the perspective of building a high performing team, it starts to make sense why board members are reluctant to get involved in fundraising. Because here you're asking them to do something, it's risky, it's very visible, and no one wants to fail.
Right.
So here you are as an individual in a group of semi-strangers, and you're being asked to put yourself on the line personally to do something that doesn't feel so good.
I'm not very comfortable with it in the first place, and it just feels kind of weird to be asking people for money.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you can step back and give people the opportunity to get to know each other and to build a climate where, we all know that this is difficult. And, we don't expect everyone to be 100% successful, and for people to share and say, well, I called on John Doe and boy, it didn't go very well. And then somebody else can say, I've had the same experience. And now suddenly you've lowered the tension. It doesn't feel like this make or break situation for that board member. They've not failed the organization. They had a not so great interaction with a prospective donor.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is something that happens. And I think it changes the dynamic around asking your board members to get involved in fundraising. You're taking them from a position of great personal discomfort to one where they can feel a little more like, okay, it's, I don't have to feel that I'm going to be letting the group down. I don't have to feel that everyone will be looking at me. But at the same time, it also then helps build accountability.
And that's what trust in general does for you. I think that's right.
That's exactly right.
I like the idea that you're framing it as the building of a more highly functional team instead of a family, because families can be quite dysfunctional, as I'm sure we all know. But highly functional team, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, when you have trust, then people have, they can then have honest conversations at board meetings. And again, think about the board meetings where you've been there either as a staff member or the board member and nobody's talking. Now, you know, people have opinions, you know, they have thoughts, but no one's talking.
Yes.
So then decisions get made, but because they were not involved in the conversation around that decision, they now can say, well, that's what they decided, but that's not what I'm going to do. So now immediately you no longer have their commitment because they weren't involved in the give and take of the decision-making process. Mm-hmm. And when a person says, well, I'm not committed to that decision, then the other thing that you've now let off the hook is they're no longer going to be holding themselves accountable to fulfill whatever that obligation was or whatever that decision was, because they didn't agree with it in the first place.
Right.
And so, see that happen, you know, over and over again with boards where it seems that a decision gets made, but it doesn't get acted on.
Right.
Or a year later, you're still kind of in the same place, or we're having the same conversation.
Right.
And I think if you can unwind it.
Yeah. Or that you lose a board member because they feel like they were never enfranchised.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And I think then ultimately, then people start to feel personally committed then to getting the results. Mm-hmm. So that idea of the fundraising call is still, you know, maybe it's a little nerve-wracking, but they're committed to the need, they're committed to the decision, they're committed to getting the result.
Right.
And so now they're willing to put themselves out on the line and do something that might make them a little more, or make them a little uncomfortable.
I've seen two practices that I think tie into what we're talking about here. And one was a board that literally went around the room periodically, like not just at the end of the meeting, but periodically they would simply stop the agenda and they would make sure that they spoke to everybody at the table and they would say, okay, Kathy, what do you think about this? You know, Mickey, what do you think about this? Roger, Sally, so on and so forth. And so that way everyone could voluntarily say, I'm good with this, or no, I think otherwise.
And then
another exercise I thought that was pretty cool, and one that I wish more boards would do, is that they would start every single board meeting by role-playing a fundraising ask. And they would pick at random two or three people to participate in this process. And they would simply role play it. Okay, Mickey, you're the asker, and Kathy's the askee. And how do you go from zero to can I get you to support my organization? Go. And I thought that was fantastic because it's just them. It's an enclosed environment. They get to practice the actual words, and it takes some of the weirdness out of just going through the motions. So, but anyway,
And you can laugh about it. You can laugh about it and take some of the anxiety out of it. I agree. And, you know, another thing that I would suggest, and it sounds corny, and I came up, I was a vehement anti-name tag person. I did not like name tags.
Yeah, me too.
and yet, I can't tell you how much easier it makes it on everyone if you have name tags, and that the name tags are big enough that you can actually see the person's name from across the table.
Right.
It makes it so much easier because just that hesitation of, oh gosh, I don't know everyone's name. Do they know me? It can really help, especially if it's a larger board when you may not be seeing people on a lot on a regular enough basis to be 100% confident that you've got all the right names and faces matched. So I'm now a big proponent of name tags, especially when in a larger group set situation.
And the name should be bigger than the logo of the company, I think.
Yes. That's right. Have mercy on your older board members too. Make it big.
Right. Don't make me have to actually read it, right? Like figure out which line is the relevant one.
That's right. Well, and I think too, you know, we often, you know, we look at for a board member, a board member asking another person for their financial support for the organization, we hold that out as the gold standard. Well, of course, you know, that is the ideal, but it's also just as valid for that board member to invite someone to an event, invite someone not affiliated with the organization on a site visit, to make sure that that board member has the opportunity to have a speaking role at a board meeting, to present a committee report, to continue to build their commitment and build their engagement. And I think we also tend to not value the times when a board member will make what I call a warm introduction, mm-hmm. will introduce you to someone in their network who could possibly, you know, be of help or support to the organization. And we tend to only count the dollars, but mm-hmm. I would throw out there to nonprofit leaders to start keeping track of when you have an event. And you don't want to embarrass people or call them out by name, but you may want to track and say, at our last event, 60% of our board members attended and brought a guest. And at our next event, wouldn't it be great if we could have 70% of our board members attend and bring a guest? Mm-hmm. You're not isolating it. You're calling it out. You're recognizing it. You're validating it. And you're helping them move closer and closer to that gold standard of actually then asking for the gift. And you're giving them really important feedback that you appreciate and notice what they're doing.
Yep. You wrote in our notes here that one of the ways you can create accountability, one of the KPIs is giving board members a speaking role at a meeting. Do you mean the actual board meetings?
For example, rather than staff, making all the, you know, making the reports, you know, I think it's important that the committee chairs, they need to make those reports. And they need to be having those conversations with their fellow board meetings. You know, I think a lot of times we have, you know, the board members will say, well, you know a lot more about this than I do. And I want to push back and say, yeah, but you're the board member. This is your committee. You need to be talking about this, you know, and my job is to prep you and support you in that role of making a report to your peers, your fellow board members. Mm-hmm. And again, that builds commitment, it builds their knowledge, and it builds their comfort with their ability to explain to another person, perhaps a prospective donor, what it is your organization does, what they're all about, and how they go about doing it.
Right. What else? We're talking about performance indicators, right? Creating accountability. Yeah. And we've mentioned attendance levels. We've mentioned speaking roles at meetings, inviting guests to an event.
Yes. Oh, another way that board members can be so helpful is sharing social media on their social media. Yep. Everybody, you know, we all have our Facebook and our tweets and all those sorts of things. And you start to multiply all that out. And people are very willing to do that. If you can give them a sentence or two or a paragraph or two or send out a photo and say, hey, would you post this on your Facebook? They're more than happy to do that. You can you can multiply your social media reach,
tremendously. Yeah.
100 times. Yeah. And that's something, again, that needs to be appreciated, acknowledged, mm-hmm. and tracked. Yep. Because it's a simple thing to do, but it continues to build that commitment.
at the top of this entire thing, you know, you said that it's a process that starts with the first conversation about board membership. Mm-hmm. Does that sound as simple as I think it should sound? Is it something as simple as me interviewing a prospective board member and just saying to them, look, we are a high functioning team. We're very familiar with each other. And this is how we behave in our board meetings. Or should I be saying something else?
I think that sounds great, Mickey. I think it's important right from the very beginning to start creating what I think the sociologists call those norms. You're setting mm-hmm. norms. And so you're letting them know right at the beginning that it's not okay to come to our board meetings and not say anything.
Right.
You know, we're a highly engaged team. We have lots of discussion at our board meetings. Sometimes we disagree with each other and it's okay.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yep.
So I think it's important right from the beginning mm-hmm. to talk about that. I think the other thing that I've seen people do is they're in a board situation and they are so hungry to get that board seat filled. They will say, it's not that much work. We really don't need you to do anything. And we've all done it. We've sure. all done it. But it's so unfair. It's so unfair to that person. And it's so unfair to your organization. Being a board member is, I won't say it's a reward, but it certainly is. It creates opportunities for people to build their networks, to gain important experience. And you don't want to devalue the importance of board membership to that right. individual in any way. This is an important role.
Right. And, you know, just to play devil's advocate for a second, I do understand that it's, you know, we're all hungry to get new board members and new blood involved in our organizations. And it's just almost reflexive to say, oh, it doesn't take a whole lot of my time. Especially when you recognize that there's we started the whole episode with this, there's a dearth of qualified leadership amongst nonprofits in general.
Yeah.
So how then do I get qualified people to join my board if I'm going to say to them, look, this is a real job,
yeah.
Yeah. you know, and I'm about to tell you a lot of things that make yeah. you know,
well, yeah. I think there's a tendency again, you know, we, as leaders, we work through the most pressing item that's on our list that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we look at our nominating committee process and our board recruitment process is something that happens in the 30 to 45 days ahead of our annual meeting, when we know that a third of our board is going to roll off because of term limits. And we've got to get 6 people right. lined up before the annual meeting. That is not a healthy practice. I think there's a tendency for the board governance or nominating committees to meet only in that context. And I would make the case that nominating committee or that governance committee needs to be meeting on an ongoing basis and constantly talking to people yeah. and gauging their interest, gauging their willingness to serve
right.
so that they have some folks lined up. And already pre-screened, if you will, mm-hmm. before that annual meeting rolls around and it's time to actually put that slate of new board members together.
Yeah, I tell nonprofits it should be a year-round thing, actually. But that's an excellent way, I think, to wrap the episode in terms of, you really do set board engagement by having a year-round cycle that talks about board membership and exactly what it means to be a part of that unit and what the expectations are. Have you written anything about this yet on your blog?
Not yet, but I will be very soon. I'm actually tomorrow for a regional organization here. I'm presenting a webinar on board engagement, and I will be putting that webinar on my website soon after. So I'd encourage people to check the website and look for that webinar as well. I've got more data, more specific recommendations, and some ideas about indicators to track, those sorts of things.
Right, right. One more time, let's remind people how to find your website and how to get in contact with you.
Sure. My website is onpointphilanthropy.com. And there's a contact form where they can reach me.
Excellent. Thank you, as always, Kathy, for joining me at the microphone today. I'm always looking forward to the next time we get to do this.
Great. Same here, Mickey. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode. We invite your support of our efforts via Patreon. Please find us at patreon.com/nonprofitsnapcast. In the meantime, we'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.